Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my desire and my joy to have you come on board with us each day, joining in the dialogue and discussion. At least if you're not going to join in the dialogue and discussion, listen and allow God through the Holy Spirit to direct our understanding based on the authority of Scripture. When we face issues, we do so based on the Word of God. I don't know of any better source to find truth than the truth of the Word of God. And when we face issues, and we do so on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what he said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, there's no better source book in all of the world than the Word of God for truth. Truth is a word that is misunderstood today. Truth is a word, I believe, that is lost in the vocabulary of English-speaking people today. I believe truth is a word or a subject that very few are interested in today. It's a matter of philosophy and ideology and some dogma from some denomination. And I'm saddened to see that so many Christians fail to go back to the source book for all truth, that is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the dialogue and discussion of the broadcast today, let me remind you on tomorrow, we'll be dealing with an issue that I believe every listener needs to tune into. If you're concerned about salvation and how you get saved, join the broadcast tomorrow. We're going to be talking about salvation. Is it necessary to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be saved? Some have the philosophy that we're already saved and that God's done all of the work and we do nothing, that somehow, some way, God's predestined us to be some to be saved and some to go to hell, that because there is the predestination, that there is no choice, no volitional freedom on the part of man. In fact, there are a lot of major radio broadcasters today that have that philosophy, that predestination is what God's Word teaches. I want us to see what God's Word really says, not some philosophy based on a verse here, a verse there, a verse yonder, but salvation. Is it necessary for you or for me or an individual to personally invite Christ to come into your heart to be saved? I pray that you'll join the broadcast on tomorrow and that you will invite friends and relatives and neighbors. And if you are a listener today and you disagree with that and you think that you have been predestined or that others are predestined, wonderful. Join in the broadcast tomorrow. Call in and ask your questions. I want you to show me in the Scripture where we have been predestined and cannot make a choice for salvation. There are a lot of folks today that are going to die and go to hell because they've been told that you can do nothing about your own salvation, that you just sit back and wait and see what God has already done since before the foundation of the world. Is that right? Is that theological truth? Is that wrong? Is that error? What is the truth? I want us to see in our next broadcast. So I pray that you will join in tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today the creeping invasion of Islam in America. In fact, just a few years ago, I published a book titled The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. It's a very brief book. It's not but four or five chapters. It's very, very short, less than 80 pages. The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. That was kind of a follow-up to my book that I published back in 2012, I believe it was, entitled Is Islam Tolerant? is Islam Tolerant. It's a 25-chapter book. It's a book with about 325 pages, 25 chapters. Is Islam Tolerant? I'll be quoting a little later in the broadcast today from that book, and the quotes in it from the book are directly from the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran is the most revered Quran on the globe for the Islamic jihadists to read, study, and carry out their jihad based on what the Quran tells them. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that today, in fact, just a couple of hours from now, today, that we have in Washington a U.S. representative-elect, her name is Rajda T-L-I-A-B, I assume that's Taleb, will make history when she places her hand on the Quran and takes the congressional oath of office. When this happens, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be one of the first two Muslim women in U.S. history in the U.S. House of Representatives. Let me just read you a little brief article from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel, on that subject. He says this, U.S. representative-elect will make history tomorrow. That was yesterday. Tomorrow, today, she's doing the oath of office. When she places her hand on the Thomas Jefferson's Quran, and now when it says Thomas Jefferson's Quran, Thomas Jefferson happened to have owned a Quran, but it wasn't because he believed that it was peaceful. It wasn't because he believed that it was palatable. It wasn't because he believed that it was compatible with U.S. Constitution. But nevertheless, on the Thomas Jefferson Quran, and takes the congressional oath of office, when she does so, she'll become one of the first two Muslim women in the U.S. House of Representatives. This article goes further to say, a harsh critic of Israel, this woman that now is going to be a U.S. Congresswoman, U.S. House of Representatives, she is a Palestinian-American who wants to slash all U.S. aid to the U.S. Jewish state because of its injustice, she said. She wore a Palestinian flag to celebrate. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's a woman that's just been elected to the U.S. House of Representatives wearing a Palestinian flag to celebrate her election victory and wants to wage economic war on Israel via the movement to boycott, divest, and sanction the Jewish state of Israel. She says she'll be bringing, quote, her bullhorn to the floor of Congress, end quote, and chose the Jefferson Quran to send a loud message about Islam. Muhammad's religion, she said, is not foreign to American history. Instead, she says, Muslims were here at the very beginning, end quote. Here's what Matt Staver says. He says, baloney, pure and simple, baloney. Sorry to be blunt, but that's baloney, pure and simple. Islam had no formative role in America's creation. It was love to God and Jesus Christ which brought our fathers into this wilderness. New England minister in Christ Mather declared in 1677, and great American statesman Daniel Webster said, the same 150 years later, our fathers were brought hither by the high veneration for the Christian religion. But this dear woman, Taleb, got it exactly right when she also said this, some of our founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress know today. And now, why did Matt Staver say that she was correct in that statement? He says here, I have to agree 100%. America's founders knew a great deal more about Islam than today's crop of befuddled and politically correct members of Congress. For instance, Thomas Jefferson waged a long war while president against Islamic pirates in the Mediterranean. But before Jefferson entered the White House, he met with a Muslim diplomat in London and asked why Muslims were attacking nations that had done them no harm. Here's the reply as Jefferson wrote it in Congress in 1786. Quote, the ambassador answered us that it was founded on the laws of the prophet, that it was written in their Quran, that all nations who should not have answered their authority were sinners. That is, all nations that do not follow the authority of Islam are considered sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could find them, and to make slaves of all that they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim who should be slain in battle was sure to go to paradise, end quote. In fact, John Quincy Adams, America's sixth president, issued the verdict on the book that this dear Islamic jihadist woman, now a U.S. Congresswoman, is taking her oath of office on, said the precepts of the Quran is perpetual war against all to deny that Muhammad was the prophet of God. The commands of the prophet may be performed alike by fraud or by force, end quote. In this case, fraud is what is taking place, ladies and gentlemen. And I find it sad to find in America, where we're electing Islamic jihadists that will swear an oath to the Quran as they're sworn in. I believe, disingenuous, because when they swear an oath on the Quran, they're disallowing and dissing the Constitution, and are not willing to swear an oath on the Constitution to uphold the Constitution. Because, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, and if you get your feelings hurt, I don't apologize whatsoever. It's time, I believe, Christians that know the book, that know the Bible, will take a stand and warn America of where we're headed as a nation if we're not soon warned by what we're seeing from other nations, and take a stand against it. I believe it is sad that we find so many Christians today that will mamsy-pamsy around with the issues of Islam because they're so ignorant of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we as Christians wake up, sit up, stand up, and realize what's taking place. Here's another article about the same event. It says, new Muslim congresswoman picks Jefferson's Quran for swearing in. A newly elected member of the Congress of an urban district in Minnesota reportedly has revealed that she has chosen to be sworn in as a member on an English translation of the Quran. The article further says, it's important to me, she says, because a lot of Americans have this kind of feeling that Islam is somehow foreign to American history. She continued, quote, Muslims were there at the beginning. Some of our founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress today, end quote. The report said that this Islamic congressman-elect will borrow the Quran, the same one used by Representative Keith Ellison, a Muslim, several years ago. He made a similar claim that Jefferson owned the Quran because he loved Islam and the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an absolute bald-faced, unequivocal lie. That is not the reason Thomas Jefferson owned the Quran. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that multitudes in the Congress do not know enough about Islam and are not schooled enough on the truths of Islam to be warned and to warn the people and to take a stand against it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is further evidence that we have major problems in the American political system. Here's an article that says, the Democrats demand House change its rules for all Muslims. You heard that right. The House imposed a rule in the mid-1800s requiring members to remain uncovered while the chamber was in session, effectively barring them from wearing a hat in the august body. Two centuries on, Democrats now say it's time to carve out an exception for one of their new members, who was elected this month and will be the first member of Congress to wear a hijab, a traditional covering worn in public by some Muslim women. Incoming House Rules Committee Chairman John McGovern of Massachusetts says it's time for a religious exemption to the rule, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no religious exemption for Christians to the rule. If a Christian were to go in with a head covering of some type, it would be absolutely in your face forbidden. We find Christians are forbidden to pray in Jesus' name in a political forum. We find that Christians across America are being demeaned because of the cross, where even the House and the Senate and some in the political arena as judges across America are ruling that the cross is forbidden on public property, and yet you're talking about you're going to make changes in the House rules that would allow the Islamic jihadists to wear their head coverings, the hijabs, so that you won't even be able to recognize the face that's behind that covering. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a stench in the nostrils of God for America that was founded on biblical principles and Christian Judeo beliefs to now find that we are headed down the path of allowing this to take place. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, demographers, that's those that study demography and the patterns of ethnicity and the patterns of movement on the globe as to what's happening. Demographers warn us that America will be an official Islamic nation by 2025. 2050. that we will be an Islamic nation by 2050. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if that worries you or bothers you, but it's quite alarming for me, because I find it egregious when we see what's happening in Europe to feel that or to think that somehow, some way, one day it will be true in America. But nevertheless, that's the path that we're taking. We're we are allowing today Islam to be taught in our public schools, paid for by taxpayer money. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that is right out of Belgrade, Florida. Listen to what the headline says. Muslims revealed their plan for the United States to convert kids, our kids, and our families will follow them. We can demonstrate it here and then scale it up to the rest of the country, the Islamics say. This article reads, dated, by the way, December the 7th, 2018, Muslims in Belgrade, Florida, say they are planning on acquiring a public school in order to educate children as young as 6 weeks old in the Quran. You heard me right. This article further says, from 6 weeks old, we will have them. That's Muslim speaking. The men said, from 6 weeks old, nap time, listening to the Quran, sisters in uniform hijab. You start with the babies and then all the way up to high school. This is the intention for this faculty here in this public school, end quote. Bring your kids to Islamic schools, they went on to say. Their kids will convert, and then the entire family will convert to Islam. We will demonstrate it right here in Belgrade, Florida, and then scale it up to the rest of the country, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't make your blood boil, something's wrong with your American blood system. There's something wrong with the patriotic blood that should be flowing in your veins, that we're finding it right here in our own state. And it's not that it's so unusual, because it's happening across the nation today. We have major charter schools today, about 530 of them, that's owned and operated by Islamics right out of Turkey. And they are literally invading America via the educational system is exactly what they're doing today. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, these public school systems that are now being invaded and taken over by the Islamics are nothing more than Islamic schools being paid for by taxpayers' money. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, parents won't give up the fight against schools' Islamic indoctrination. This is Dateline, parents of San Diego Public School, San Diego, California. Students have returned to a federal court in their case against the district's promotion of Islam, asking the judge to reconsider her denial of their request to halt an anti-Islamic narrative initiative. The parents, who are organized as the Citizens for Equality Education in San Diego, charges the San Diego Unified School District Program, in partnership with the Council of American Islamic Relations, favors Muslim students in violation of the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Invite you to join in this discussion if you'd like to do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you straight through to the studios and right to our microphone that we can have dialogue and discussion on it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the creeping invasion of Islam in America. It's coming in through the political system. It's coming in through the court system. It's coming in through the judiciary. It's coming in through the police departments and law enforcement across America. We're finding Islamic Sharia law coming in on every hand, and yet I find very, very few, if any, Christian voices being heard on a national level that's warning America of the dangers ahead. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Islam promoted in public schools, Christianity is banned. The article dated in mid-2018. Don't think this is just another isolated incident where Islam is being favored in public schools. The point here is simple. Either teach all the religions equally or don't teach any of them at all. Since God, the Bible, the name of Jesus, and the Ten Commandments have already been expelled from the governmentally controlled schools in America, mounting evidence proves, decade after decade, every other belief system, including atheism, humanism, secular progressivism, and Islam, have all been allowed to come into the American educational system, end quote. This article further says, a new report on West Virginia says that Mountain Ridge Middle School students in Garristown were asked to practice writing the Islamic Declaration of Faith, known as the Shahada, in Arabic calligraphy. Translated into English, the statement says, quote, "There's no God but Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." That is the Shahada. That is the conversion phrase that's used by Islamics when they convert to Islam or when they affirm their position of Islamic belief. And ladies and gentlemen, in the schools in West Virginia, where that is being taught, where they're being asked, the students are being directed to use calligraphy and writing the Shahada, I am frightened to death, ladies and gentlemen, for our kids and grandkids as to what's going to take place. This article goes further to say, as part of the world religion unit of the class, the lesson plan leads students to profess the socio-political religion of Islam as true and leads them to thank Allah for his being God and to consider Allah as being God, the creator of the universe. Apparently, the 30-page section of Islam in the World Today continues anti-Christian sentiment and requires seventh graders to read segments of the Quran and to learn Muslim prayers and poses and understand the five pillars of Islam. It further states here, God of Islam is not the same as the living God of the Holy Bible. The Muslim holy book, the Quran, considers Jesus a prophet, but not the Lord and Savior, or God come in the flesh. The article goes further to say the video from the course predominantly features a Christian convert to Islam who declares emotionally how he found the true religion in Islam without having any intermediaries. Concerned parents have noted the U.S. Department of Education provides no compatible study or promotion of any other religion other than Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that, in fact, I've said several times, in fact, dozens of times down through the years, if not hundreds of times, best thing that could happen to America today is to shut down the U.S. Department of Education. It's not constitutional. It's not found any place in our Constitution. And yet it's through the U.S. Department of Education that we find the garbage of pornography being taught in the classrooms and homosexuality and the LGBTQ and Planned Parenthood agenda, as well as the promotion of Islam that's being shoved down the throats of the American citizens, the students being, if you please, brainwashed into those fields, and therefore it's destroying this generation and the next generation to come. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that it's time that we wake up, sit up, and understand what's happening in our nation and what is taking place today. May I remind us, just look at all of Europe and Germany and France today. Islam controls the schools. Islam controls their political speech. Islam controls their courts. And Sharia law will control all of Europe. In fact, Sharia law now controls London, England. It is now taking place, ladies and gentlemen, where it is becoming part of the U.S. jurisprudence. Judges are deciding legal cases in our courts today, in American courts, based on the Quran, not the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. laws. State after state after state are battling to have ALAC, that's A-L-A-C, ALAC, the ALAC stands for the American Laws for American Courts. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, ALAC has been sponsored by way of legislation in Tallahassee the past 2 years. It's been defeated each time because of the Islamic control in so many of the legislators of so many of the legislators in Tallahassee, where as a result of the Muslim influence and the Muslim lobbyists and the Muslim payola to so many of our congressmen in Tallahassee, ALAC has failed on two occasions. Ladies and gentlemen, we must pass ALAC, A-L-A-C, American Laws for American Courts, in the next legislative session in Tallahassee. We must do so. We have state after state after state where it's getting that done. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Muslim preacher in London, "We're not British, we belong to ISIS." A Muslim filmed himself crying on the streets in London. Britain destroyed the Islamic State, he says, and they have no nationality. We are not Bangladesh, we're not Pakistani, we're all Muslims, and we belong to the Islamic State. It is our religion of peace. These religion extremists, this article says, wants to impose Sharia law in all of Britain. According to Sharia law, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's no freedom of religion or freedom of speech. In Sharia law, there's no equality between people. Non-Muslims, a non-Muslim is not equal to a Muslim under Sharia law. There are no equal rights for men or women in Sharia law. That is, when we say Sharia, we're talking about Islamic law based on the Quran. And the Quran can be spelled with a Q or with a K. Either way, if you read it in any documentary, it is still sufficient. I had the privilege of investing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours in the research for the writing of the 25-chapter book, Is Islam Tolerant? And the answer to that question is unequivocally no. It is the most intolerant group of human beings on the face of God's green earth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no democracy or separation between religion and state in the political agenda and ideology of Islam. Radical Muslim terrorists all over the world carry out terrorist attacks in the name of Allah. And ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Allah is not God. When you hear the fake media and the fake news saying that he cried God and his attack or his beheading or in the attacks of the jihadists, when they say Allah Akbar, it is not saying God is great. It's saying Allah is the greatest. And they are claiming greatness and that Allah is greater than the creator control of the universe, God himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a stench in the nostrils of God and ought to be for every Christian to find that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt now in the West to impose Sharia blasphemy laws to criminalize any criticism of Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the creeping invasion of Islam in America. Here's an article that says U.S. lawmakers introduce a bill to ban Sharia law. Muslims, as a result, are outraged. Republicans on the Idaho House panel have once again agreed to introduce anti-Sharia law legislation designed to prevent Idaho courts from making decisions based on Islamic or any of the foreign legal codes. Similar anti-Sharia bills are being considered in several states across the United States. That's the one that's called, that I mentioned a moment ago, called ALAC, American Laws for American Courts. Muslims blame Trump and cry Islamophobia. According to Sharia law in Saudi Arabia and in Iran, there's no freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I told you that a moment ago. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening and what shall happen if we allow this to come about in America. Sharia law is based on the Quran. It allows polygamy. Sharia law allows honor killings. Sharia law allows female genital mutilation. Sharia law allows child marriage. Sharia law allows forced marriages and the treatment of women as second-class citizens. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that taking place across America today. I find it sad when we see what's happening in other nations and other parts of the Western Hemisphere. In London, for example, Islamics patrol in the police car, their police cars, all of the Islamic ghettos. Civilian police are not allowed to go in. That is, the civilian police officers with London, England police garb on and their patrol cars are forbidden to go into the designated areas that's to be patrolled by only the Islamic police force. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it sad and frightening as to what we see happening in America today. Listen very carefully. Here's an article that says, Sharia in the USA, Christians jihad or Christians jailed for preaching to Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is part of Sharia law. In Dearborn, Michigan, where Christian preachers on the street corner preaching, it is now considered to be anti-Islamic, and therefore they're being tried and convicted based on Sharia law, where it says it's illegal to say anything negative about the Muslims. Here's this article. Richard Thompson, that is the chief counsel that's representing these preachers. Muslims dominate the political and law enforcement process in Dearborn, Michigan. It seems that police are more interested in placating the mayor and Muslims than obeying the Constitution. Sharia law makes it a crime to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to Muslims and any other place in every place on the globe. This is a classic example of stealth jihad being waged right here in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to communicate any more seriously. Right now in New York City, Muslims are now patrolling the Islamic streets. They have squad cars that's on the squad car MCP, Muslim Community Patrol. You heard me right. The New York City residents are now shocked, according to this article, when they see vehicles with the word Muslim Community Police emblazoned on their cruise cars going down the streets patrolling the Islamic streets in the city of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to listen up very carefully. We're in serious danger unless Christians wake up, listen up, sit up, stand up, and speak up. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.